Our final Africa report for 2015. We join on the line by Khadija Patel. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khair for joining us. We spoke about Burundi and Ka last week, but in recent days there has been significant developments in both Burundi and the Central African Republic.
Indeed, Mulana, and especially in Burundi, I think the reports coming out of there are particularly worrying. On Friday, many of us woke up to reports on Twitter and also, you know, in the news media about bodies piling up in Bujumbura, in the capital city. Very, very worrying report. We now know that more than 100 people have been killed in Bujumbura over the last 4 days. And what actually happened was opposition groups, and jog our memories here again, are the opposition groups who have been boycotting the current government after the president has, you know, gone in for another term in office, a third term in office, which they deem illegal. So these opposition groups attacked government military bases on Friday. And this is what is said to have sparked these clashes. Security forces reportedly raided neighborhoods where they believed opposition activists live. And they killed opposition activists, but significantly as well, many, many civilians were caught in the crossfire. It is a familiar story. And like I said, you know, the bodies were left in the streets, and it's been described as, the worst spate of violence that Burundi has seen in recent months. Very, very worrying reports coming out of there. Even as late as yesterday, I remember seeing tweets yesterday from Bujumbura, people from there saying that yes, Burundi is a poor country, it has no oil, it has no resources, but people are dying, and it is it's a crime that the rest of the world is not taking note of what is happening here. So it is a very worrying situation. Significantly as well, I think what a lot of fear mongering has taken place around, or framing really around, the situation in Burundi is the potential for another genocide, much like, you know, what has happened in Burundi previously, and also what we saw happening in Rwanda in 1994, particularly because the ethnic makeup of Burundi is very similar to Rwanda. But speaking to human rights researchers, they say that this remains a fundamentally political conflict, that the fact that the country has been, the state institutions have been integrated in such a way, for example, the army is made up of both Hutus and Tutsis, similarly the parliament, there isn't the potential for that kind of ethnic violence again. And certainly, speaking to certain people from there, they say that there just isn't even an appetite for a replay of that kind of violence. So this remains a fundamentally political conflict, but the fact that there has been no progress in resolving this conflict, despite efforts from particularly Uganda in recent months, is very, very worrying. It is a worsening situation. We know that there are at least 300,000 Burundians who have already fled the country, who are displaced in particularly in around Tanzania, Zambia, Uganda, the DRC, and Rwanda. But a further challenge with this is now the tensions that have now struck up between the Burundian government and the Rwandan government. The Burundian government accuses the Rwandan government of actually sponsoring opposition groups. The Rwandan government, of course, denies this. But yesterday, a very interesting report from a group called Refugees International said that in a refugee camp in Rwanda, Burundian nationals are being forced to enlist in rebel groups to fight in Burundi. So, of course, the Burundian, the Burundian government, is going to blame the Rwandan government for letting this happen on its watch. However, these are worrying situations, and this is something that, you know, is happening not very far from South Africa. Burundi is one of South Africa's sort of sterling successes in terms of our international relations capacity for conflict resolution. South Africa has, you know, it has a lot to gain and lose, really, from the situation in Burundi. And I think that it's very, very important that, you know, as citizens, really, we amplify the pressure on our elected officials to take a stronger stance on what is happening there.
Absolutely. Now we move on to the Central African Republic. Felicine, what's the latest from there?
What we saw happening over the, as we spoke last week, actually, there's an election scheduled to be held in the Central African Republic next week on December the 27th. But what happened over the weekend was a referendum was held for the Central African people to actually vote in an interim constitution, so that when this new government comes in, there are checks and balances in place to ensure that this government can take hold of the country. However, there were unusual and really quite worrying scenes, out of Central African Republic on Sunday as the referendum was held. The results of the referendum are not yet in, but in the mainly Muslim area in the capital Bangui called PK5, we heard reports of gunfire, grenades. People were, militants were preventing people from going out and voting. And it was up to the United Nations peacekeepers to actually get involved in the fight there in order for the, for this referendum to take place. And apparently it was disrupted in this manner about 5 times through the day. We're hearing today that the final death toll from that, from Sunday is 5. So certainly, and it was not just in PK5 where we saw violence like this. Now in other areas of the country, there was similar violence. So considering that the election is happening basically next week, and that there is still, pockets of resistance to law and order in this way. However, these pockets of resistance remain, what we're reading a lot of is people, Central African people saying, hey, we're tired of these guns, we just want to get back to our lives. But will the people with the guns allow peace to thrive? That is what we hope to watch over the next few weeks. And inshallah, when we get back after the new year, we hope to discuss what's happened there.
We'd like to place on record your appreciation for your time contributing to the program weekly. You have shared fascinating insight throughout the year and useful information. Jazakumullah khair, and do enjoy your break, and we look forward to the new year and tackling some of the issues that will come up at that time.
Inshallah.
Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
That was Khadija Patel, journalist contributing weekly on the Africa Report, bringing us on to 8 a.m. spot on.